Turn tonight to Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9. And while you're turning, I want to mention the choir was singing this evening about we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds our hand. You know, the Bible says in I think of this, Isaiah 41 and verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." So it is wonderful that these wonderful old songs that we sing, they are substantiated by the Word of God. And it is a fact that God does hold the hands of His people. Now, Acts chapter 9, let me begin reading verse number 20, if I may. Verse number 20, where the Bible says, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues." Of course, it's talking about the Apostle Paul. And he said that he is the Son of God. "But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the good music that we've heard. And Lord, we've been reminded this evening by the choir and Sister Brenda about the fact that the future is in good hands, because we know that you hold the hands of your people, and we believe that things are winding down, and we're closer to the return of Jesus than what we can even begin to realize. Now, Lord, tonight, the names that we shared earlier on the prayer list of our church, we ask you, Lord, to work accordingly to those needs. Now, Father, speak to hearts this evening as we give some consideration to the precious Word of God. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm preaching tonight on the subject, and obviously I'm taking my text from this particular portion of the book of Acts as pertaining to the Apostle Paul as to how he was protected and cared for by the disciples, and they let him down in a basket. I'm using the thought tonight, hold on and don't drop the basket. And what I want to do this evening is to take this thought and to just make some application with it. This is one of those messages this evening that I'm just going to, Lord willing, with God's help, just make some application this evening along the same line of holding the rope, the thought of holding the rope. That's what we'll be dealing with. But anyway, the disciples, they were looking out for Paul. They let him down in the basket because there were people that were trying to kill him. The Jewish people were feverishly upset and were trying to kill the Apostle Paul because of the message that he preached. So therefore, the disciples, they at nighttime lowered him under the cover of darkness, down in a basket. And he was able to, of course, escape, and God protected him and so forth. But they held on to the rope. They lowered that basket. And then finally, when a basket touched the ground, then, of course, they pulled it back up, retrieved it, and went on their way and so forth. But there's a thought here this evening that I think applies to all that we do. I believe this thing of being rope holders, there's some significance of that statement, holding the rope. Now, many people know what it is to be let down and forsaken. There are people that have been forsaken. Sometimes people will make the statement, they'll say, "Well, he or she let me down," meaning they turned their backs on me. Now, right now, while I'm preaching, and of course you know the number one news item this whole week has been on the terrible situation in Afghanistan. And it's so terrible, but as I preach tonight, there are many in Afghanistan who have been let down by this president and this administration of the free world who have no clue of foreign policy from what I seem to gather, and they don't care what's best for this country. I have to say that tonight because all evidence points in that direction. We've watched with horror this past week as people have clung to the military transport cargo plane trying to escape, and some have been dropped off to their death. What a horrible scene. This should have never happened. I mean, my goodness, this evening, any person with common sense would know that, you know, there come a point of time we had to leave. We can't stay there forever. But the way we're closing up shop there is the problem. You don't forsake your friends and those that have helped you and the interpreters and so forth. I mean, you just don't do this. This is just not common. This makes no sense. And American people are upset because those dear people have been let down. But I believe there's something that we must never forget. I do believe that the wheels of providence are turning. And I believe that we're witnessing, and I'm sorry to be so negative, but I believe that we're witnessing the demise of a great country. Because we've been infiltrated by enemies wearing the clothing of politicians who've let down this great country. My message tonight is not on that, but I just wanted to make that comment tonight as an illustration. There's people over there in the Middle East that have been let down. But now here's a case where it's positive. Here's a case where being let down was positive. This is a particular being let down that resulted in the Apostle Paul's safety. And it's freedom. And that's what I want us to see this evening. So the account was positive. Now, let's look at the place of this event. It took place in Damascus, Syria. And today the modern population of Damascus, Syria is somewhere around 900,000 people. Let's notice the person in the basket. That was Saul. Saul. He experienced an event recorded in the beginning of this chapter, which was a powerful event, which was a precious event, which was a pivotal event. Because we know that when Saul got saved, that turned his life around. I mean, this man was bitter. He was on a crusade to persecute the people of God. So when he got saved, that turned into a pivotal event. It was a precious, a powerful event. And that happens in the first part of Acts chapter 9. This records the conversion of Saul. Now, several words outline the life and ministry of this apostle to the Gentiles, which include his pre- and post-salvation experience. In this same chapter, I want you to note something. Let's look at some key words. Y'all got time, don't you? We got time for throwing a little study here while we're at it. All right, notice verse number 1. You know, a lot of people like to use an alliterated outline. Here's a self-alliterated outline here in Acts chapter 9. All right, look at verse 1 of chapter 9. The Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. Slaughter. Remember that word, slaughter. I mean, he was on a crusade of slaughter. I mean, it's amazing how God can turn a person around and turn them from being a murderer to someone who is an apostle. That's amazing. And so there's the word slaughter. Then I want you to look at verse number 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and here's the next S word. Suddenly, there was shined round about him a light from heaven. So the word, suddenly, while he's going on his way with ill intent, God intervenes quickly. And it happened suddenly. Now, Brenda's saying tonight about the coming of the Lord. And when he comes, it's going to be sudden. I'm going to tell you something. If preparation is to be made for the coming of the Lord, we better do it now. Because when he comes, he's coming suddenly. Moment, twinkling of an eye. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, But suddenly, then, I want you to look at verse number 3 again. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined. There's the word shined. Shine. Light shined round about him, a light from heaven. Then, notice verse number 16. Verse 16 says, I will show, there's the word show, him how great things he must, there's another S word, suffer for my name's sake. Then, look at verse number 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And then, I want you to look at verse 20, and straightway he preached. He preached, the Bible says. So, it's amazing. Just a natural flow of alliteration in terms of the S word. And what it does, it takes the Apostle Paul, past, present, and then his ministry after that. What an amazing chapter here we're reading. Now let's look at the place of the event we've seen. The person in the basket, that's Saul, and now the principal reason for the event. What's caused this to happen? Why isn't he being pursued like a rabbit? What is it that he's done that's infuriated the Jewish leaders? Well, it's simple. He preached Christ and that got him into trouble. That's exactly what happened. He preached Christ that got him into trouble. And we know the truth hurts. And they tried to kill him. Verse number 23. He increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews, which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Christ. He confounded the Jews. And when he confounded the Jews, they weren't willing to repent. They got mad. Rather than taking the thing of being confounded and let the truth of Scripture convince them they were wrong, they turned on the messenger. Sometimes that happens. When people will not respond to the truth, they'll turn on the messenger. And that's exactly what they did here. So the preaching of Christ got him into trouble, but now the people who took care of him, who were they? Well, the Bible says they were disciples. They were disciples. And they let him down in that basket. Now, can't you picture that in your mind? I appreciate the good job that Lisa did in posting this on Facebook. She always does a great job. That lady has a picture for everything, doesn't she? But it shows Paul being let down in that basket. I mean, that's an amazing thing. So the disciples, they were holding the rope, but they didn't drop him. Now, what would have happened if they would have dropped him? Well, I think you know what would have happened. The poor guy could have been killed. But they held on the rope. They weren't turning their backs on him. They were protecting him. And what happened was that he developed friends that trusted him and were convinced that he was God's man, so those disciples protected him. They hid him in a basket. They lowered him through the window. When they heard the thud of the basket hit the ground, they pulled the basket back up and went on their way. Now here's my point. We owe a lot to rope holders. We owe a lot to people that hold the ropes. And I want to say tonight, you're looking at a person that I've had many friends that's held the rope for me. And I thank God they didn't drop me. And I think there's a lot to be said tonight with that thought, you see. We've considered the place. We've considered the person in the basket. We consider the principal reason for the event he preached. And then we consider the people who let him down. They were the disciples. And like I said, they held the rope and they represented what Christians ought to be. We ought to be rope holders. I've preached long enough to know that sometimes Christians drop the basket. Sometimes Christians turn the rope loose. Sometimes some Christians can let someone drop. And that's sad, isn't it? That's sad. Who were the rope holders? We don't know their names. We know they're disciples. But one thing we do know, they didn't drop him. We don't know their names, but they didn't drop him. We know where Saul went, but where did they go? You ever wonder about that? Now when Saul, when they got him on the ground, while he went, goes on his preaching crusade, and you can document his journeys in the book of Acts. He goes here, there, starting churches. Great multitudes of people get saved. We know where he went, but where did those disciples go? I wonder about them. You know, sometimes there's question marks that come up when we read a certain passage of Scripture. We're thinking, well, where did they go? Well, I don't really know, do you? Now, in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 1, I'm just going to quote a verse. You don't have to turn there, but let me just quote it. Here's what I think about those disciples. I believe that those disciples weren't looking for fame. They didn't really care. We don't know the names. All they wanted to do was the right thing. They just wanted to help Paul. They wanted to be rope holders. They didn't care about any notoriety on their part. They just wanted to be the people that God would have them to be. Now, in the book of Matthew 6:1, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven." Sometimes people like to toot their own horns. They like to be known. They want people to know what they've done. But I believe there's a reward in glory for a people that'll simply go about being faithful, doing for God what they know to do, and don't look for any applause from people. Just do the right thing. Just be a good Christian. You know, tonight, there's a tendency, some people get hung up on titles. They want to be recognized. They want their quote-unquote Emmy Awards. But just be a good Christian. Concentrate on that. Don't care about the titles. Don't care about the fame. Just be a good Christian. I'm glad this evening that even though many of us might be stricken of certain talents and abilities, and some can sing in a church, some can't. Some can do certain things that others can't do. But there's one thing every Christian can do. We can be a good Christian. We can just be a good Christian for the glory of God. And actually, a preacher doesn't have to stand in the pulpit and tell a person how to be a good Christian. The Holy Spirit's already let us know. We know by now what to do. I mean, yes, preachers from time to time, biblically, if we're preaching on it, we can nudge folks. We can say, here's what the Bible said. There are some thou shalt nots and some thou shalt. But really, it's the Holy Spirit of God that has to really light the fire under people. I mean, we become nothing but sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. If it's left up to us, there's not a preacher on the face of this earth that has the fame or the power of man to get anybody to do anything if God's not in it. The Holy Spirit has to still convict and do the work. These rope holders just did their job. They didn't take care of the recognition. Perhaps the greatest display of Christianity is when Christianity is displayed in private, not in public. Sometimes, think about this, the greatest display of Christianity could very well be before church and after church. Maybe through the week. Maybe when people don't see us. That's when Christianity is really displayed. Maybe it's on the job. Maybe it's in the house. When the public's not looking on. That's when Christianity can shine at its best. Now here we all are tonight. Assemble together again. Back in church. And don't you folks look nice tonight. sitting there, looking this way, taking it in, dressed nice, got that nice smile on your face, and every one of you look like a nice Christian. When I look in all your faces, and I see you smiling, that's a nice compliment I just paid you. Preacher just complimented you. But I wonder how nice Christians are when the lights shut off in this church and we get home and through the week when we handle the job situation, the stress of life, the problems that come. How strong is our Christianity then? That's the real test. It's easy to look like a good Christian in church, but no, when we go home, that's a different matter. And deal with the grind throughout the week. I believe that in heaven, the unknowns will perhaps be recognized more. We don't know who these disciples were, but there's one thing we do know. They held the rope. Have you ever wondered, what would we have in the Bible if they dropped the rope or dropped the basket? What would be the rest of the book of Acts? What about the 13 epistles that would be written by this man in the basket? What about all those churches that he'd start? Imagine what would have happened if he or if they would have dropped the basket. But now, does that circumvent God's program? No. God could have still raised someone else up. I mean, really, when it's all said and done, God can always get by without us, can't he? He really can. I mean, you know, you take the strongest person, Christian, best talents and all that, and sometimes people think, boy, what would the church do without me? It'd get along fine without you. Because God's able to still supply what a church needs. Now, believe you me, we've had some godly saints to leave us out of this church. I mean, there's been so many after these 23 or 24 years now, we've lost track of time. Dear old saints of God, don't we miss them? And there were times that I'm sure we thought, what would this church be like without those people? Well, we miss them, but the church is still here, isn't it? The church is still here. So I'm just saying tonight, God can still raise up another Apostle Paul, but in this case here, that's not what happened. But thank God for the unknown rope holders. Thank God for them. And I think of a few this evening that don't get a whole lot of credit. What about rope holders called parents? What about good parents who simply pray for their children, who weep over their children, who scold them when they need to be scolded, who discipline their children because it's right, who hang on to their children in the basket because safety demands it. Thank God tonight for those rope holders we called parents. The world is not worthy of these unknown rope holders. And I think with society, I think with church, I think with all of the entities that make up society, you really can't find anything more basic and more vital and more critical than parent rope holders. The home. When did they hold the ropes? That's my next question. When? At the right time. And it was nighttime. Could I say tonight it's easier to be a Christian in daytime than at nighttime? Many falter at nighttime. Peter's an example, isn't he? Peter is an example. He held the ropes when Jesus was popular, but when trouble came, he denied his Lord. The test of character is what it takes to stop us. I think of the many rope holders holding ropes for others in difficult places of the world. I think of the many that's been willing to leave the comforts of home and pleasure and to be rope holders that others might be saved. I think of those that are on mission fields today. I think of those that are preaching the gospel, those faithful Christians that are doing what they do for God's glory, how they're holding the rope. Many of them having to sacrifice. Many of them without the comforts that you and I have here. They held on to the basket, these disciples did, until the basket hit the ground. They didn't drop Saul even though he was heavy. I don't know how much the guy weighed. Bible seemed to indicate he wasn't a very big guy. But yet, you put a person in the basket, a lot could go wrong. He still had some weight. They had to know what they were doing. Now, once in a position of being a rope holder, let me say tonight, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on holding. For some, you may be the only one holding the rope. Do you realize this evening that every one of us, God places us in a strategic place. We are an influence on someone else that we might not even realize, and we might be the only person they're depending on to hold the rope. Do you know that's true? How many times do you hear someone say, I appreciate you. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate your faithfulness. And it just could be that they're looking at you above everybody else because you've been such a mainstay, such a strength to them. You've been their rope holder. And so I'm saying we got to keep on holding. I'm thankful for the rope holders down through the years. When I look back testimonial-wise, that helped me to get to the ground. I find the blessing of seeing God do things. It's a blessing seeing God doing things in people's lives. That's a great stimulus to keep holding the rope. Now, why did they hold the rope? That's my next question. Why? Well, it's simple. Someone was in trouble and they could help. They didn't know a lot about Saul except where he had been and what he'd become. You see, they could have said that vicious man, considering what he's done against Christians, why, I'm out of here. Find somebody else to hold that rope. But no, they still believe that God had got a hold. They believe that God had plans for this man and his impact upon the world. You may not know who's in the basket. That child you raise at home, that child that's taught in a Sunday school class, may wind up being another D.L. Moody or a Charles Spurgeon. You just don't know. They may become preachers. They may become missionaries. They may be used of God in great ways. We must not let go of the basket. Think about the people of this world who turned out to be notorious people. Now, think about this for just a few moments. What if someone would have held the rope for some of these people today in our world who are raising havoc, who are mean and evil, running roughshod over other people, looting stores, involved in gangs, doing terrible things? What if they would have had a spiritual rope holder? Do you think they would be where they are tonight? You see, that's the thing, isn't it? Now, yesterday, or a couple days ago, Carol and I went over to Greensboro, and we noticed on the corner, there was a beggar on the corner. But you see, that beggar wasn't by himself. He had his whole family. Little child, about this tall, was there. It was a family begging enterprise, you might say. You know, Carol and I were talking about this. This guy, who the parent, the father, he was teaching his children to beg rather than to work. I'll tell you, if there's ever been a time that society needs spiritual rope holders, it's now. People need to be guided and shown the truth. And all the home is so critical. I'm aware of the fact, and we're all aware of the fact, that God could have airlifted Saul out of that room. But no, he used people to lower him to the ground. Now, what resulted from their holding on to the ropes? This man got to the ground. This man was a great apostle. This man was evangelist. This man wrote 13 epistles. I cannot help but think of the people that's held a rope for me down through the years since God saved me. I can't help but think about that. I think about that faithful church and that faithful pastor that gave to me the truth and held the rope for me. And God saved my soul that night over in Virginia. I cannot help but be thankful for those that have held the rope for me since that time. I think of godly people in the churches that I've been privileged to pastor. And I'm especially thankful tonight for my family. I don't say a whole lot, but I will tell you this for what it's worth. I wouldn't be here tonight preaching the gospel if it wasn't for the pastor's wife of this church. She's been a great pastor's wife. I'm talking about support. I'm talking about a rope holder. I'm talking about someone that encourages you. Someone that says, just keep on keeping on. I remember years ago in Bible college, I was working on this 5-year program at Piedmont back in those days. It was the old THB program, which has been phased out, but took 5 years to get through that thing. And it was two of the last years were spent in Greek studies. You had to study, you had four semesters of Greek. And how in the world are you going to teach a West Virginian Greek? People were dropping like flies out of that class. In fact, the professor told us the first day of class, he said, look on your right hand, look on your left. He said, one of you won't be here in the spring. And boy, did that turn out to be true. They were dropping off the THB going over to the BRE, 4-year program. And I was on the verge of quitting. And Carol said, don't you dare quit. And you know, I took her advice. And I'm glad I did. Now, has it helped me? Ask me tonight to quote Greek. Don't expect me to. I forgot it all. But it's the discipline of. But I thank God tonight for family rope holders. For good spouses. For good husbands and good wives and good children. And I think of my son that's encouraged me and so forth. And now he's preaching the gospel. Holding the rope. Oh, we don't realize tonight the influence and the blessing that we can be in the lives of others. Just don't drop the basket. Just don't quit prematurely. Just don't give up in the middle of the fight. Just hang in there. In fact, let absolutely nothing keep you from finishing what God called you to do. God doesn't call us all to preach or to do certain things, but God has His hand on every Christian, and He wants us all to grow in the Lord, to be faithful to Him, and to care about others, and to forget about ourselves, and think about others, and hold the rope. That, you know, you take that word edify. We're to edify one another. You know, to edify, in a sense, means hold their rope. Hold the rope. Don't drop them. Build them up. Encourage. That's what it's all about. So what they did, they lowered the rope, the basket. Paul gets to the ground. The enemy tries to get him, but God had His hand on him. And the apostle Paul lit out on an evangelistic trail, starting churches left and right. Church at Ephesus, church at Philippi, church at Corinth. I mean, everywhere the guy goes. And imagine the other story had they have dropped the basket. It's amazing how so much of life can very well depend upon a single circumstance. The success, think about it. The success of life can depend on a single circumstance that may seem trivial. But it may be the very key that God will use. So tonight in closing, be a good rope holder. Don't drop the basket. hang in there. Don't let the things of this world keep you from being a blessing to people around. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this evening, help us to see these practical truths. Lord, help us to take these principles and to take them and go with them. And Lord, help us to know that we are our brother's keeper. And we better keep him well, because he might be keeping us before we realize it. And Father, we need to be kind to people, as someone said, as we go up the rope of success, because we're going to meet them on the way back down at some point. So Lord, help us tonight to realize the responsibility that we have to be rope holders, to look out for others, and Lord, to be used of God to be a blessing in people's lives. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask a question tonight. How many of you across this building would say, "Preacher, by the grace of God, I want to be a better rope holder for His glory"? Let me see your hands across this building. Yes, God bless you. Amen. If you're watching tonight and you've never trusted Christ, I urge you right now to get saved. I urge everyone that's listening to me right now, here and out there, as a Christian, let's take care of our brother. Take care of our sister. Look out for one another. Be the battle buddy of one another, because the Lord is pleased in that. Bless, Father, this invitation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike, what's your song?
Number 323.
If you want to come tonight...